Well, today's first reading is the concluding verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Just one verse. Paul writes, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." In this reading from the letter of James, the author speaks about the consequence of having faith. James writes, "My brothers and sisters, what good is it if people say they have faith but do nothing to show it? Claiming to have faith can't save anyone, can it? Imagine a brother or sister who is naked and never has enough food to eat. What if one of you says, 'Go in peace, be warm, have a nice meal'? What good is it if you don't actually give them what the body needs? In the same way, faith is dead if it doesn't result in faithful activity." Someone might claim, "Well, you have faith and I have action. But how can I see your faith apart from your actions? Instead, I'll show you my faith by putting it into practice in faithful action. As the lifeless body is dead, so faith without actions is dead." For years, the electronic calendar on the church's software has been the calendar that I've used to keep track of all my appointments, church-related and personal. Obviously, in about a month, I'll no longer have access to that, so I needed to set up a new electronic calendar, one not using church software. I did that a few weeks ago. Now, my calendar used to be chock full of appointments, church meetings, community activities, presbytery commitments, and alongside those would be family events, social gatherings, medical appointments, grooming appointments for Sassy the big dog. Everything was on that calendar. And whether I viewed it on the computer or on my phone, my calendar was as colorful as a dish of candy, what with all the various color-coded appointments. The crowdedness of my calendar did ease up a bit with the arrival of the pandemic and its effect on public gatherings. But after next month, when it comes to my calendar, the cupboard's pretty bare. Well, that's neither good nor bad, it's just different. But someone has observed that ours is a world where we seem to have construed our individual worth by reference to our busyness, as if how busy we are is an index of our importance and goodness. I may have done that at times, talked about how full my calendar was, but I didn't mean it as a bragging point. Indeed, I know I used to cringe when a church member would say, "Well, I don't want to bother you because you're so busy." And I would think, "Yes, you are my business. You're the one I'm supposed to be busy with." On your calendar like mine, this Monday is marked off. Labor Day, it says. We don't really observe Labor Day in the life of the church. It's a civic holiday, not a religious one. And while the church might note certain federal holidays, Labor Day is different from, say, Memorial Day or Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Those holidays have a spiritual dimension to them, as we remember the sacrifice made for the common good, whether by hundreds of thousands of servicemen and women, or by Dr. King and the countless disciples he inspired to prod our nation to become a more perfect union. But while most holidays are set aside to commemorate people of fame and achievement, Labor Day honors the average Joe and Jane. It's an annual celebration of the social and economic achievements of American workers contributing to America's strength, prosperity, and well-being. Labor Day doesn't single out individual actions. It acknowledges the collective work of the community, the nation, through the years. The New Testament's letter of James, reputed to have been written by the brother of Jesus, it's a writing famous for commending labor, work, action. James argues that a true follower of Jesus would not merely offer pious words of sympathy for the poor, the diseased, the abandoned, the oppressed. James would contend that to sit in an assembly of worship in the name of Jesus and disregard the very poor whom Jesus embraced is to confuse correct liturgy with authentic faith. For James, caring for those in need is the mark of true religion. The letter of James is the source of the familiar scriptural admonition, faith without works is dead. Or in a more modern translation that we heard today from the Common English Bible, faith is dead when it doesn't result in faithful activity. James' point is that the actions reveal the attitude. They make it alive. Yes, faith requires work. Faith requires action. Now, the reality is that not everyone can do the same kind or the same amount or the same intensity of work. Just weeks ago, we recalled the Apostle Paul's familiar words from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he writes, "There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone." You know, come to think of it, acknowledging the collective work of the community the way the Labor Day holiday does, that collective effort is something that the church honors. I mean, think of the tasks that you want to achieve as a congregation in the months ahead following my retirement. Identifying and selecting leadership for the transitional period before you. Evaluating what pandemically postponed programs and priorities you want to resume. Discerning the impact you want your church to make in the community, in society, in the world, and what you'll need to do to make that come to fruition. That will be the result of a collective effort of the whole church, not the task of one transitional pastor or even 15 elders on the session. As a congregation, your faithful commitment will be embodied by your faithful activity. In that passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, St. Paul also reminds us that the Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. In other words, it's different for different folks. That's true of us. Work schedules, family responsibilities, involvement with other charitable organizations and civic commitments, that all means that not everyone has the same amount of time, the same schedule flexibility to devote to tasks of ministry, service, mission outreach, compassionate care. Also, some people have no problem getting around, while for others it's a challenge to get out and about. And of course, we know that temperaments differ. Some people tend to be reserved and contemplative, while others are more outgoing and impulsive. It's this kind of diversity in experiences and abilities and interests that Paul recognized when he described the church as a single body which has many parts. He writes, "It's still one body, even though it's made up of different parts." But God's Spirit draws together different parts of the body so that the whole body will flourish. Maybe this will illustrate what I mean. Every year, on the night before Labor Day, our family travels to a Presbyterian church amid the fields of Western Ohio for a festival of Welsh hymn singing. It's in the farming community of Venedosia, about 7 miles southeast of the Van Wert County seat. There, in the unair-conditioned sanctuary, many out-of-towners sit, sweaty shoulder to sweaty shoulder, with the men and the women who farm the fields that stretch to the horizon in every direction around that church. Yes, people from near and far, different voices, different abilities, all come together to sing God's praise. That's one way they work together, but there's something else. You can tell as you drive through that countryside that those farmers are proud of their work. Their barns glow with fresh paint. The lawns in front of their tidy houses are neatly mown, as is the grass growing in that strip between their fields and the county roads. Each family takes pride in what they're able to do with their property. But at harvest time, the individuality gives way. They evaluate the growth and moisture content of their crops, and then they get together, they coordinate their calendars, and they pool their equipment so they can help one another bring in the harvest as efficiently as possible. They come together for this crucial work in the same way that God's Spirit draws together different parts of the body so the whole church will flourish. Let me offer another brief example of faith being demonstrated by the faithful activity of the group. The setting for this story is about as different as can be from Western Ohio's farming country. A Facebook user named Gregory Locke tells of this unsettling but encouraging experience. This is what he writes. I got on the subway in Manhattan tonight and found a swastika on every advertisement and on every window. The train was silent as everyone stared at each other, uncomfortable, unsure what to do. Then one guy stood up and said, "Hand sanitizer gets rid of Sharpie. We need alcohol." And he found some tissues, and he got to work. Well, I've never seen so many people simultaneously reach into their bags, their pockets, looking for tissues and Purell. And within about 2 minutes, all the Nazi symbolism was gone from that car. Like farmers harvesting soybeans, those subway riders came together to clear the car of the cruel racist graffiti. Their faith in humanity was demonstrated by their faithful activity. That kind of faithful activity, joined in by all in some way or another, is how Paul envisions the church working. Paul envisions a church where all the deeds of the community, indeed all the actions of all the individuals within it, are coordinated into a shared work and a common labor in the Lord. This congregation has work ahead of it. Faithful activity that embodies your faith, since, as James wrote, faith without works is dead. And while different people will do different things in different ways and to different degrees, that's as it should be. As Paul wrote, the Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. To close this Labor Day sermon about laboring for the Lord's sake, I quote the epitaph on a tombstone in Yorkshire, which offers these benedictory words. God, give me work till my life shall end, and life until my work is done. Amen.